An attack on us all. The Zapatistas are not alone. On May 2, 2014, in the Zapatista territory of La Realidad, Chiapas, Mexico, the group Ciudad Histórica, with the participation of the Green Ecological Party and the National Action Party, also called the PAN, planned and executed a paramilitary attack on unarmed Zapatista civilians. An autonomous Zapatista school and clinic was destroyed. 15 people were ambushed and injured, and José Luis Solís López, also known as Galeano, a teacher at the Zapatista Little School, was murdered. The mainstream media is falsely reporting this attack on the Zapatistas as an intra-community confrontation, but in fact, this attack is the result of a long-term counterinsurgency strategy promoted by the Mexican government. Given the experience of the 1997 massacre at Acteal, we are concerned about the mounting paramilitary activity against Zapatista bases of support. It's clear that if we do not take action now, the current situation in Chiapas may also lead to an even more tragic end. Why this matters to us. Since 1994, the Zapatistas have shown us the bankruptcy of the world that dominates us, and, most importantly, the ability to organize ourselves into self-determining communities autonomous from the political class and capitalism. It is this capacity to show that another world is possible in the here and now, one not rooted in exploitation, dispossession, repression, and devalorization, but rather in liberty, democracy, and justice, that has inspired us all. An attack on the Zapatistas is an attack on the other world that we have all tried to build along with them for the past 20 years. What we should do. We strongly denounce the murder of Compañero Galeano and the attacks against our Zapatistas brothers and sisters. We denounce the deliberate destruction of the Zapatista clinic and school. We denounce the disinformation from the press regarding these attacks. To denounce these aggressions and in support of our Zapatista brothers and sisters, the signatories below call on all Zapatista supporters, students, anti-prison activists, artists, workers, intellectuals, teachers, academics, LGBTQ groups, anarchists, communities of faith, prisoners, communities and organizations of color, indigenous peoples, Chicanos, migrants, and all those seeking a more just, non-capitalist world to pronounce themselves against these attacks by the Mexican government on the Zapatistas and to hold events starting Sunday, May 18th, culminating with a day of remembrance on May 24th called by the Zapatistas in honor of the late Compañero Galeano. Let's make our dignified pain and rage another building block towards a movement that will directly participate, along with the Zapatistas, in creating this new world. Los Zapatistas no están solos. This call to action was released on a website called An Attack on Us All that circulated in the United States shortly after the attack on the Zapatista communities on May 2, 2014. This call to action was signed by hundreds of people across the country, including Mumi Abu-Jamal, Noam Chomsky, Angela Davis, Juno Diaz, Ozo Matli, Alice Walker, Cornell West, Mike Davis, Emery Douglas, the IWW, Rosa Clemente, Chris Hedges, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, the U.S. Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel, David Harvey, Prison Radio, Robin D.G. Kelly, Tom Hayden, Rebel Diaz, Olmeca, Boca Floja, Michael Albert, The Arma Collective, David Graver, Iris Morales, El Quilombo Intergaláctico, the James and Grace Lee Boggs Center, Silvia Federici, Glenn Ford, Vijay Prashad, Escuelas para Chiapas, the Mexico Solidarity Network, and many, 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 many more. For more information on this call, you can visit the website www.anattackonusall.org.
Oakland, California, jueves 15 de mayo, reunión con adherentes y alumnos de la Escuelita Zapatista. San Diego, California, domingo 18 de mayo, protesta en las calles de San Diego. Jueves 22 de mayo, manifestación en el Consulado Mexicano. Sábado 24 de mayo, homenaje al compañero Galeano. Connecticut, martes 20 de mayo, en New London, diálogo sobre la represión en territorio zapatista. Jueves 22 de mayo, en las calles de Middleton, manifestación y distribución de información. Viernes 23 de mayo, en las calles de New Haven, Connecticut, manifestación, apoyo a los pueblos zapatistas. Los Ángeles, California, viernes 23 de mayo, protesta en el consulado mexicano. Viernes 23 de mayo, acción virtual, llamadas y bombardeo de correo electrónico al consulado mexicano. Sábado 24 de mayo, homenaje y marcha para el compañero Galeano. Sábado 31 de mayo, concierto cultural y transmisión intergaláctica. Viernes 16 de mayo en Chicago, marcha y protesta en el consulado mexicano. Albuquerque, Nuevo México, domingo 18 de mayo, poesía y manifestación en frente del consulado mexicano. New York, sábado 17 de mayo, sesión de información. Domingo 18 de mayo, protesta en silencio en Union Square. Jueves 22 de mayo, protesta en frente del consulado mexicano en Seattle. Viernes 23 de mayo, proyección de DVD de la escuelita zapatista y reporte de la situación en la realidad Chiapas. Sábado 24 de mayo y domingo 25 de mayo, homenaje a la vida y lucha de nuestro compañero y maestro Galeano y mural comunitario. Los zapatistas no están solos, no están solas. Un ataque a los pueblos zapatistas es un ataque a todas nosotras. Justicia para el maestro Galeano y las bases de apoyo zapatistas.
The following comes from Pain and Rage by the Zapatista Army of National Liberation, Mexico, May 8, 2014. The preliminary results of our investigation, as well as information that we have received, leave no doubts regarding the following. 1. This was a planned, premeditated attack, militarily organized, and put into action with premeditated malice and advantage, and is an act of aggression inscribed in a climate created and cultivated from above. 2. The leaderships of the paramilitary group called COEC Histórica, the Green Ecological Party, which is the name under which the PRI governs in Chiapas, the National Action Party, or PAN, and the Institutional Revolutionary Party, or PRI, are all implicated in directing this attack. 3. We know that at least the government of the state of Chiapas is implicated. We have not yet determined to what extent the federal government was also involved. One woman from these anti-Zapatista organizations has come to tell us that this attack was planned and that, in fact, the goal was specifically to chingar or fuck over Galeano. In sum, this was not some intra-community problem where two groups confront each other in the heated emotions of the moment. The attack was planned. First, they tried to provoke us by destroying our school and health clinic, knowing that our compañeros were not armed and that they would humbly defend what they had created through their own efforts. Next, the attackers took up positions on the path that they knew our compañeros would take from the Caracol to the school, and finally they fired on our compañeros. Our compañeros were injured by gunfire in this ambush, but what happened to our compañero Galeano is even more extreme. He did not fall in the ambush. He was surrounded by 15 or 20 paramilitaries. Yes, they are paramilitaries. Their tactics are those of paramilitaries. Our compa Galeano challenged the aggressors to hand-to-hand combat without guns. They would swing at him, and he would jump from one place to another, avoiding their blows and disarming his opponent. Our compa Galeano challenged the aggressors to hand-to-hand combat without guns. They would swing at him, and he would jump from one place to another, avoiding their blows and disarming his opponents. When these aggressors saw they could not beat him like that, they shot him in the leg, and he fell. Then came the barbarism. They descended upon him, beat him, and cut him with a machete. Another shot to the chest brought him to the edge of death, and they kept beating him. When they saw he was still breathing, one of those cowards shot him in the head. They shot him 3 times at point-blank range, and all 3 shots came while he was surrounded and unarmed, but had not given up. His body was then dragged by his assassins for some 80 meters and then tossed aside. Our compañero Galeano was left there alone, his body thrown in the middle of what had been the territory of the campamentistas, men and women from all over the world who had answered the call to build a peace camp in La Realidad. And it was our compañeras, the Zapatista women of La Realidad, who defied fear and went to pick up Galeano's body.
La lucha sigue. 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 La l
As autonomous community members and students of the Zapatista Little School from around the Bay Area, we gathered on May 22, 2014 at the Mexican Consulate in San Francisco, California, to demonstrate our dignified pain and rage while denouncing the murder of Zapatista schoolteacher Galeano in the autonomous community of La Realidad, Chiapas. We distributed flyers with information about what happened in La Realidad, and we expressed our rage with our rebellious cries and the noise of our pots and pans. In response to the escalating aggression against the Zapatista bases of support in Chiapas, Mexico, as the dignified and rebellious people of the Bay Area, we have organized ourselves in order to condemn, in the strongest terms, the continued attacks against our compañeros and compañeras in the South. The death of endeared teacher Galeano at the hands of government-backed paramilitary groups creates the imperative to build autonomous and liberatory social relations here in the Bay Area. As such, we will show our force in numbers and expose both the U.S. and puppet government of Mexico for the impunity and brutality committed against the indigenous people of the continent. We do so joining the countless others who are demonstrating in cities around the world as part of a global week of action in solidarity with the Zapatistas and in remembrance of our fallen compañero, Galeano. Galeano vive, la lucha sigue. In the spirit of promoting and supporting alternative media, we'll go now to a short piece by radio journalist and political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal called Pain and Rage in Chiapas.
Pain and Rage in Chiapas. Since 1994, the emergence and persistence of the Zapatista movement has been a pain in the side of the Mexican state. An indigenous, women-commanded revolutionary army was a nightmare for the globalist NAFTA-era business servants of the Mexican government. They have repeatedly attacked the Zapatistas, not just militarily, but via the media as well. Now, the state, using paramilitaries, has attacked the Zapatistas again. On May 2nd, the Zapatista support community, La Realidad, in Chiapas, was ambushed, and a teacher there, José Luis Solís López, was beaten badly and shot several times. Solís López, known affectionately as Galeano, taught at La Escuelita, the little school, a Zapatista institution. His killers are members of a Mexican paramilitary group with ties to the government. As a popular revolutionary army, the Zapatistas have denounced revenge, but they want their many supporters to know that Galeano's murder has sparked both pain and rage among them. They also see this as a pretext for attacks to come. They're calling for supporters worldwide to denounce this attack. For more information, contact An Attack on Us All at gmail.com. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Bota ese televisor, rompe periódico ese.
Turn off the TV.
Los medios de comunicación todos muestran lo mismo. Sangre, muerte, sensacionalismo. La lucha por el oro, la falta de fe y de coro. Es descaro, nadie es sano, pistola en mano. Los medios son controlados por las tres mismas personas. Solo dinero, nadie razona. Casi nadie comprende que la situación está cabrona. La gente ambiciona, arrincona, desentona, escasona, demente, reacciona. Yo la matrona que pregona y presiona, menciona y proporciona. Esta rima retozona, la sicaria de tu zona. No perdona, me pongo glotona. Los medios que la verdad distorsionan, infectando de mentiras, sugestionan. Y la gente creyendo en lo que traicionan, empuja, presiona, donde la competencia promocionan.
Si quieres tener tu libertad, debes prepararte para defenderla.
Los medios al servicio del poder, los medios no nos dejan.
Mexico's Zapatista leader, Subcomandante Marcos, steps down, blared the headline of a widely read BBC article published on May 26th. The article continued, claiming that Marcos was, quote, leaving the group's leadership. But even the most superficial glance at the communique about which the article was written would have shown that these claims resulted from a complete misreading of the text. let alone any contextualized knowledge of Zapatismo. Marcos was never the, quote, Zapatista leader, nor is he stepping down. But since we shouldn't expect anything better from the corporate media, what we want to do here is read some sections from the communique entitled Entre la luz y la sombra, or Between Light and Shadow, originally published on May 25th, and talk a bit about how we're interpreting it. This piece is contextualized by the recent paramilitary attack we've been discussing, in which, among other acts of violence, the Compa Galeano was killed. But it also takes a step back and lays out a brief history of the Zapatistas. The first part, titled A Difficult Decision, situates the Zapatista Rebellion of 1994 within the long and brutal war from above that began with European conquest and colonization and is ongoing today. It reads,
"When we erupted and interrupted in 1994 with blood and fire, it was not the beginning of war for us as Zapatistas. The war from above, with its death and destruction, its dispossession and humiliation, its exploitation and the silence it imposed on the defeated, we had been enduring for centuries. What began for us in 1994 is one of many moments of war by those below against those above, against their world. This world of resistance is fought day in and day out in the streets of any corner of the five continents, in their countrysides and in their mountains. And rather than dedicating ourselves to training guerrillas, soldiers, and squadrons, we developed education and health promoters who went about building the foundations of autonomy that today amaze the world. Instead of constructing barracks, improving our weapons, and building walls and trenches, we built schools, hospitals, and health centers, improving our living conditions. Instead of fighting for a place in the Parthenon of individualized deaths of those from above, we chose to construct life. All this in the midst of a war that was no less lethal because it was silent. If there exists a myth today in any of this, it is not the ski mask, but the lie that has been repeated from those days onward, and even taken up by highly educated people, that the war against the Zapatistas lasted only 12 days. The mere indisputable fact that the EZLN had not only not been weakened, much less disappeared, but rather had grown quantitatively and qualitatively would have been enough for any moderately intelligent mind to understand that in these 20 years something had changed within the EZLN and the communities. Perhaps more than a few people think that we made the wrong choice, that an army cannot and should not endeavor toward peace. We made that choice for many reasons, it's true, but the primary one was and is because this is the way that we as an army could ultimately disappear."
Now, in identifying these changes, it's also important to recognize that this shift does not mean disavowing or denouncing the use of violence or the importance of the Zapatista army. Later on, in Section 4, the communique explicitly acknowledges that without the EZLN and the use of force, none of what the Zapatistas have accomplished would have been possible. Quote, "Nothing that we've done, for better or for worse, would have been possible without an armed military, the Zapatista Army of National Liberation. Without it, we would not have risen up against the bad government exercising the right to legitimate violence. The violence of below in the face of the violence of above." But for now, we're going to spend some time with Section 3, titled The Handoff, or Change. In Spanish, it's El Relevo, which is like when you take over for someone. If the first section describes a shift from building barracks and training soldiers to building schools and training teachers, from building a machinery of death to the infrastructure of life, this section describes a set of parallel shifts in the structure, organization, and composition of the Zapatista movement.
"In these 20 years, there has been a multiple and complex handoff, or change, relevo, within the EZLN. Some have only noticed the obvious, the generational. Today, those who were small or had not even been born at the beginning of the uprising are the ones carrying the struggle forward and directing the resistance. But some of the experts have not considered other changes, that of class, from the enlightened middle class to the indigenous peasant, that of race, from mestizo leadership to a purely indigenous leadership, and the most important, the change in thinking, from revolutionary vanguardism to rule by obeying, from taking power above to the creation of power below, from professional politics to everyday politics, from the leaders to the people, from the marginalization of gender to the direct participation of women, from the mocking of the other to the celebration of difference. The cult of individualism finds in the cult of vanguardism its most fanatical extreme, and it is this precisely that the indigenous rule, and now with an indigenous person as the spokesperson and chief, that terrifies them, repels them, and finally sends them looking for someone requiring vanguards, bosses, and leaders. Because there's also racism on the left, above all among that left which claims to be revolutionary.
These shifts won't come as a surprise to anybody who's been following the Zapatistas over the last 20 years, and especially since the sixth declaration of the Lacandon Jungle came out in 2005. For example, a lot of folks on the Mexican left were critical of the Zapatistas in 2006 for not getting behind the electoral campaign of López Obrador and the PRD, and instead launching La Otra Campaña, the other campaign, which was openly critical of electoral politics and the politics of representation that excludes and marginalizes those from below, los de abajo. But even the Zapatistas have at times fallen into a framework based on protagonism, and this is the case with the figure of Marcos. That's what Section 4 is about.
In the earliest hours of the morning, on the first day of the first month of the year 1994, an army of giants, that is to say, of indigenous rebels, descended on the cities to shake the world with its step. Only a few days later, with the blood of our fallen soldiers still fresh on the city streets, we noticed that those from outside did not see us. Accustomed to looking down on the indigenous from above, they didn't lift their gaze to look at us. Accustomed to seeing us humiliated, their heart did not understand our dignified rebellion. Their gaze had stopped on the only mestizo they saw with a ski mask. That is, they didn't see. Our authorities, our commanders, then said to us, "They can only see those who are as small as they are. Let's make someone as small as they are, so that they can see him, and through him, they can see us." And so began a complex maneuver of distraction, a terrible and marvelous magic trick. A malicious move from the indigenous heart that we are, with indigenous wisdom, challenging one of the bastions of modernity, the media. And so began the construction of the character named Marcos. One day Marcos's eyes were blue, another day they were green, or brown, or hazel, or black, all depending on who did the interview and took the picture. He was the backup player of the professional soccer teams, an employee in department stores, a chauffeur, philosopher, filmmaker, and the etceteras that can be found in the paid media of those calendars and in various geographies. There was a Marcos for every occasion, that is to say, for every interview.
In other words, Marcos was never a real person, but a hologram, they say, used to mediate between the Zapatistas and, by way of the media, the outside world. He, or to put it more accurately, it, was a communication strategy. And when that mediation became unnecessary, when the Zapatistas were able to enter into direct contact with los de abajo around the country and the world, this figure also became unnecessary. That's what happened with the Sixth Declaration, and has entered into a new phase more recently with the Escuelita, which they call Freedom According to the Zapatistas, in reference to the title of the course.
With the Sixth, we've at last encountered those who can see us face to face, and greet us, and embrace us. And this is how greetings and embraces are done. With the Six, at last, we found you. At last, someone who understood that we were not looking for shepherds to guide us, nor flocks to lead to the promised land. Neither masters nor slaves. Neither leaders nor leaderless masses. But we still didn't know if you would be able to see and hear what we are, and what we are becoming. Internally, the advance of our peoples has been impressive. And so the course, Freedom According to the Zapatistas, came about. Over the three rounds of the course, we realized that there was already a generation that could look at us face to face, that could listen to us and talk to us without seeing a guide or a leader, without intending to be submissive or become followers. Marcos the character was no longer necessary. The new phase of the Zapatista struggle was ready. There will not be, then, museums or metal plaques where I was born and raised. There will not be someone who lives off of having been Subcomandante Marcos. No one will inherit his name or his job. There will not be all paid trips abroad to give lectures. There will not be transport to or care in fancy hospitals. There will not be widows or heirs. There will not be funerals, honors, statues, museums, prizes, or anything else that the system does to promote the cult of the individual and devalue the collective. This figure was created, and now its creators, the Zapatistas, are destroying it. If anyone understands this lesson from our compañeros and compañeras, they will have understood one of the foundations of Zapatismo.
Section 4 of the communique ends with the following sentence. Quote, "And then Galeano arrived with his death to mark our calendar and geography, here in La Realidad, now, in the pain and rage." It opens up a discussion in the fifth section about the current state of things in Chiapas, characterized, among other things, by the intensification of repression of the low-intensity war that the state, at the service of capital, has been waging in various forms on the Zapatistas since 1994, and more generally on Los de Abajo for centuries. This last section is titled Pain and Rage, Signs and Screams. Here, Galeano's name is officially incorporated into the language of Zapatismo, marking a new moment for the movement and struggle.
We have come as the general command of the Zapatista Army of National Liberation to exhume Galeano. We think that it is necessary for one of us to die so that Galeano lives. To satisfy the impertinence that is death, in place of Galeano we put another name, so that Galeano lives and death takes not a life but just a name, a few letters empty of any meaning, without their own history or life. That is why we have decided that Marcos today ceases to exist. He will go hand in hand with Shadow the Warrior and the Little Light so that he doesn't get lost on the way. Don Durito will go with him, Viejo Antonio also. The little girls and boys who used to crowd around to hear his stories will not miss him. They are grown up now. They have their own capacity for discernment. They now struggle like him for freedom, democracy, and justice, which is the task of every Zapatista. Given the above, at 2:08 a.m. on May 25, 2014, from the Southeast Combat Front of the EZLN, I here declare that he who is known as Subcomandante Insurgente Marcos, self-proclaimed Subcomandante of Unrustable Steel, ceases to exist. That is how it is. Through my voice, the Zapatista Army for National Liberation no longer speaks.
The communique is signed by Subcomandante Insurgente Marcos on May 24th, but then after that signature, there's an ellipsis, and after that, some stage directions that are in brackets.
He lights his pipe and exits stage left. Subcomandante Insurgente Moises announces, another compañero is going to say a few words. A voice is heard off stage. Good early morning, compañeras and compañeros. My name is Galeano, Subcomandante Insurgente Galeano. Anyone else here named Galeano? The crowd cries, we are all Galeano. Ah, that's why they told me that when I was reborn, it would be as a collective, and so it should be. Have a good journey. Take care of yourselves. Take care of us. From the mountains of the Mexican Southeast, Subcomandante Insurgente Galeano, Mexico, May of 2014.
One thing we've seen in this reading of Marcos' last communique is that the corporate media doesn't know how to read or understand anything about Zapatismo. Marcos has not stepped down, as they said. On the contrary, the figure whose name was Marcos has adopted a new name, Galeano, in honor of the murdered Zapatista teacher. The disappearance of Marcos signposts a shift for Zapatismo that is both historical, in the sense that, as the communique suggests, they have entered a new phase, and strategic, in the sense that this new phase is characterized by the fact that there is no longer a need for mediation between the Zapatistas and Los de Abajo everywhere. For Radio Autonomía, this has been a special report by Alita and Plebe.
Cambiando las sombras, dibujando poesía en mi ciudad. Hay un movimiento vivo, verás mi realidad. Las paredes han callado, solo quieren explotar. Han tomado vida propia, ven, acércate a escuchar. Y si entes extraños te aterraban, ahora puedes disfrutar. Encuentra el significado de creer en nuestra deidad. Califica lo que quieras, idealiza lo que puedas, que el jaguar te va a alcanzar. Y si Azaro se proyecta, la resistencia señala que la ciudad grite. El silencio a desafiar con marcadores, aerosoles, pintura es la clave morse. Si una sirena se escucha, anda, corre, ponte trucha, porque al gigante del sistema hay que ver cómo lo quema nuestra libertad de expresión. La palabra tiene forma, tú verás la dimensión.
La calle está gritando, está diciendo cosas. La calle está gritando, está diciendo cosas. La calle está gritando, está diciendo cosas. La calle está gritando, está diciendo cosas.
Lo que ves son solo calles, eso parece, porque no miras con detalle, observa bien, Cada muro encierra su esencia. Dicen que las paredes todo escuchan y ellas cuentan. Ella resiste porque el pueblo es de resistencia. Te topas con muro cuando se trata de conciencia. Ella se muestra solo parte de las vivencias. Lo que pasa en tu ciudad, sus problemas, sus consecuencias. Un movimiento que se escapa de las sombras, que tiene mil matices y las calles las transforma. Que toma forma de la escritura en las paredes, que realmente comunica qué es lo que la gente quiere. Aunque también hay quienes no siempre lo comprenden, porque su juicio crítico activado no lo tiene. Observa y vienen las verdades escondidas, porque para el que lo obligan a callar es la salida.
La calle está gritando, está diciendo cosas. La calle está gritando, está diciendo cosas. La calle está gritando, está diciendo cosas. La calle está gritando, está diciendo cosas.
Escucha el llamado, ocupa el muro en blanco, quebranta el silencio de estallar con aerosol. Despierta las conciencias que cayó aquel represor. No dejes que los medios manipulen tu atención. Convierte en lucha lo que antes fue temor. Que el muro sea tu escudo y la espada sea tu voz. Vamos, guerreros, apunten esas armas, que en la calle no hay color.
Amiga mía, es la pared la que te invita a formar parte del llamado y su mensaje lo repitas. Hoy lanza un grito, haz en el muro oír tu voz. Que sepan que somos más los que no quieren represión. Y abre los ojos a lo que está pasando hoy, porque las calles te cuentan lo que cayó el televisor.